And welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniverti. Thanks for joining me today. This is show 334 called Alternative Investments, Alternative Investments and Options. So as usual, before we begin, remember that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice, and always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices that I may mention today are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly, and past performance is no guarantee of future results. Investing involves risks, don't forget. And of course, Money Matters is about money. As money does matter, the matters of money affect us all in some way or another, whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it. Controls our economy, our country, and in some way and another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, abundance of it. It's about your lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you. So yeah, thanks for joining me. The market plows on. We have the Delta variant that has popped up, causing more infections or just as many in certain areas as it did in the summer of 2020. And here we are. Things are opening up. The local fair here has opened up. And, you know, I went to the fair Wednesday and Thursday nights, and there was not a lot of people. And I thought, oh, the fair is going to die. But I went on a Friday night. Oh, man, it was packed. And I understand Saturday night, packed as well. So go figure. 700,000 people expected at Sturgis. I think Sturgis is in Idaho, isn't it? Yeah, at the motorcycle rally, the Sturgis motorcycle rally, 700,000 people. There you go. Would it be too presumptuous of I to say that bikers are the likely to not be the masking type? So we'll see. Anyway, Disneyland went back to masking, of course, but they're still open. So I think, you know, in the fair kind of last night, you know, it just kind of looked like people were just tired of it. You know, they were just saying, the hell with COVID. I don't care anymore. Had a couple of friends that I know just came down with it. They were sick for a couple of days, and they're getting better. So there we go. They did go to a church that I attend, and people in the church caught it. And they're sick, and they're getting better. So there you go. Know of a baseball player of mine. I used to teach baseball at the high school level, and he is a 22-year-old kid now, 20-year-old kid somewhere in there. Big strapping guy. He got it, knocked him for a loop for 3 weeks, he said. Then he gave it to his dad, knocked his dad out for 4 weeks. I have a friend of mine who's 66, lives up in Red Bluff. He got it. He got it about 3 months ago, man. He thought, yeah, he was going to have to go to the hospital for a couple of days there, and he still says he has trouble doing garden work. He's still sore as hell, so there you go. You never can tell, right? If it's really going to get you or just kind of get you. But luckily, the mortality rate is still limited to mostly those that have pre-existing conditions and might have other health concerns. So the odds of ending up in a dirt nap are very, 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 very low. World Health Organization on economic development for food insecurity is saying that the number of people that will die because of the shutdowns, the number of people that will die will far, far exceed the number that actually be killed by COVID. So the shutdowns will cause more deaths, according to the economics, the World Health Organization on food insecurity, that more people will die from hunger because of the shutdowns than will the virus actually kill. Of course, there are also untold numbers of suicides and depression and violence at home and you name it. So, of course, this hasn't been a good thing on either front, whether you catch it or whether we shut down. So there you go. I have always been a vocal opinion on this show that I am against shutdowns, and apparently they haven't really done much, have they? And I know that some people say, well, the reason shutdowns haven't done much is because not everybody is wearing masks. Well, I would say, did you really expect everybody to? Did you really expect everyone to wear a mask? Because if you did, that was kind of being unrealistic, wasn't it? That's like saying, well, we won't have any cancer if everybody quits smoking. Yeah, but everybody won't quit smoking, okay? We're not going to have auto deaths if everybody only drives 50. Well, not everybody's going to drive 50. So I would think for those that assume that everybody was going to wear a mask and are blaming everything on those that did not, it was pretty presumptuous to think that everybody would. So the fact that everybody wouldn't means, at least in my opinion, that we shouldn't have. Not masks. I mask up. It just shutdowns are ridiculous, I think. And yeah, I got vaccinated. I got the J&J. I wasn't going to get the other two, my opinion. Only. I was only going to get the J&J, and I got one of those, and I was unaffected. So there we go. I understand the new Delta variant, of course, is hitting people that have been vaccinated. They call it breakthrough infections. So that's rather disturbing. You can bet your bippy, as they used to say on Laugh-In, you can bet your bippy that Newsom ain't going to shut the state down again. Not after the recall. Of course, if he doesn't get recalled, he may again shut the state down. I doubt it. I just think if he tried to shut the state down again, it would be, forget it. That's not going to happen. You know, you're going to have COVID deaths spike by 100 times. They're not going to shut it down again. I think everybody learned their lesson. They're admitting defeat without admitting defeat, right? Okay, anyway, you're listening to Money Matters on your radio station. The views expressed are my opinions only and may not. Likely do not reflect those of the station or staff, management, or underwriters, but they continue to let me talk. We have to have both sides of an argument, of course. And so there you go. I haven't touched on whether the vaccines are dangerous or not. I'm not going to touch on that. I tried doing that on social media, and I got all sorts of flack coming in from that. So I guess I would say that, do you really think that no one has died because of the vaccinations? Because if you do, you're as naive as those that thought everybody wore a mask. Because people die from vaccinations all the time. All sorts of vaccinations. There's always a mortality rate from whatever vaccination you get. I'm sure there's a mortality rate on the shingles vax. So for somebody to come up and say, no, the vaccination hasn't killed anyone. Bull. It has. Like all other vaccinations. So when somebody says, well, the vaccinations haven't done that, we would have heard about it. Well, that's naive. Naive as those who thought everybody would wear a mask, because not everybody was going to wear a mask. It's not saying that they're right or wrong. You just assumed everybody was going to wear a mask. No, and they're still not going to. And if we believe that everybody's going to shut down, no, it's not going to happen. You're still not going to get everybody shut down. So my opinion was, why do it? Okay, we'll be right back with Money Matters on your community radio station. And welcome back to Money Matters. Thanks for listening. My name is Mark Cuniberti. You're listening to show 334, Alternative Investments and Options. So what is an alternative investment? What is that? Well, I have a nickname for them. I call them privates. And investments that are not usually listed on the Wall Street Journal, in the Investor Business Daily, or on other public media outlets. You can't find the price on a public publication. It's the reason I call them privates, but we're going to call them alternatives. I've seen my share of alternative investments. I've never owned any, but I've had clients bring them to me and say, get me out. Not all alternative investments are bad. The ones that pay off are not bad. It's the ones that don't pay off that are bad. I wouldn't touch an alternative investment with somebody else's 10-foot pole, let alone mine. That's my opinion, of course. An alternative investment is usually one that an advisor or maybe a friend or an acquaintance may bring to you and ask for you to invest funds. Privates, alternatives run the gamut from buying a second mortgage from a company or perhaps buying a private bond or note, maybe the like going into the lending club, investing into that, investing into a company portfolio, and usually do it with some promise of return or gain, right? We do it because I'm promised a good rate of return over and above what I could get in the market. Otherwise, why would you do it, right? It could be like a bond also. I've seen portfolios of properties or power generating companies. It also could be to build a casino or a condo complex. Give us money and we're going to build this. You're going to make a fortune. The key here, when I call them alternatives, is they're privately held, privately purchased. The price is not listed anywhere on public media, okay? I've always said when asked, voiced my opposition to privates. I've seen too many people burned on these. I'm thinking 9 out of 10 don't work. The alternatives that I've seen, and I've been asked to promote these, okay? I've been asked to, will you sell these to clients? No. They're like, we have 5 generating plants and you're going to be into the 5 of those, or we have a handful of oil exploration or oil producing plays, or we have 7 apartment complexes or commercial real estate. Privates can also be used to fund things such as new resorts, casinos, condominium complexes, or just center around you buy a second mortgage and you give the money to a guy who owns a house and you're essentially the bank. The reason for buying alternatives is either an advisor or a friend recommended it, or the investor was promised above return on markets rates, right? You're going to earn more than you would in a bank. The contracts can vary, and I will tell you what, I've seen a lot of them, and they have a lot of fine print. And the fine print is usually in the favor of the entity making the offering. There are a lot of outs. They say, well, this will mature in 5 years, you can get your money out. However, that there is an out in the contract. There could be an out that says, no, you can't. You got to read it. What can go wrong is obviously the issue. One, you don't know what the price is. They say the price is worth this much, but you don't know. And you won't know until the end, usually. Some of the problems I've seen with these is, let's say, if it's an energy portfolio and energy prices crash, or it's a real estate portfolio and real estate prices crash, so a lot of those in 08 and 09, mortgages or private bonds can default, or an overall stock market crash can affect everybody, including these interest rates, these alternatives. Interest rates can spike. That can also affect balance sheets. Dividends that they promise you can stop, decrease, or maybe be postponed, of course. And even the maturity date will get you out in 5 years can be legally postponed. And that's the most common one that I've seen is that you can't get out. The ramifications to the investor, to you, for buying an alternative, a private, then fall into all those disclaimers in fine print that you may not have bothered to read. You may not be able to get out at maturity date. You may not be able to sell all your shares, or you may be limited to what shares you can get out of. Bonds or mortgages can default. What they owe you can default. You name it, I've seen it. The question I always comment on is that if they're promising you 7% and they have to pay the selling agent a couple of percentage points as a fee, right? He wants to be paid for selling it to you. If they're paying like 9% and going market rates are 2, why are they paying 9? Because they can't get a loan from a regular institution. See? They have to pay these hard money seconds, is what they call them. They have to pay a high interest rate to get people to loan them money because a bank or a hedge fund or whatever, pension plan, won't do it. So they're too much of a risk. So basically, you know, in an odd way, somebody brings you no alternatives paying 7%. They've already screened out the good companies and you're getting promoted, in my opinion, a not good one. Because if they were good, they could go to the bank and borrow at regular rates at 2%. So why in the hell are they paying 9? Usually any entity paying above market rates are doing so because they can't get money in the regular lending market. The normal people that are very good at assessing risk have assessed that their risk is too high. In other words, the risk from the borrower involved is likely higher than normal, and therefore you are bearing the brunt of the increased risk. There you go. In conclusion, with very few exceptions, I'm of the opinion that most alternative investments, privates, are not a good idea. We'll be back with Money Matters in just a minute. My name is Mark Cudaberti. Thanks for joining me today. Welcome back to Money Matters. Welcome back. And so you are listening to show 334, Alternative Investments in Options. So what is an option? That's a very good question. I can just say that options is stock trading on steroids. Okay? Although most investors understand what buying a stock means, far fewer understand the world of trading stock options. Often labeled, and rightly so, as highly volatile and risky, there are ways to benefit from trading stock options in lieu of trading the actual stock. So stock options do not initially involve the actual trading of a stock. Okay? The option initially does not involve you actually trading a stock. Okay? Options are not stocks. They are contracts that will bind you or give you the right to buy or sell a security, a stock, sometime in the future, okay? So an option is basically saying, I'm promising to do something, or I'm buying it and I have the right to do something later. That involves stock, buying or selling of that stock. That means when you buy or sell a stock option, at that exact moment when you buy or sell the option, you are not actually trading stock, but you are trading a contract, which obligates somebody to do something in the future. An option is a contract that you can buy or you can sell, even if you don't own it, you can sell it. And depending on what the option is, you will either acquire the right to do something or you will be made to do something. So you're either acquiring the option to do something, the right to do something, or you'll be forced to do something, okay? Specifically, having the rights mean you can exercise an action if you want to, but you don't have to. But an obligation means you are required to, okay? Investors buy options for the reason that you get more bang for your buck. They can be twice as lucrative, actually 10 times as lucrative, or 10 times as dangerous. Simply put, like I said, options is stock trading on steroids. Without getting too technical, because they're kind of hard to describe over the air, I got to kind of show you how they work, and then you have to kind of trade them to see what happens. But we're just going to kind of go through an easy exercise. The easiest way for me to introduce you to options is teaching you how to buy one, and a particular one. There's two kinds of options. There's what we call calls and puts. And you can buy either or sell either, okay? And when I say that you can sell without owning them, there are two sides to completing a contract, a buy and a sell. But you don't have to do the buy first. If you do the sell first, then what do you have to do to close out your contract? You have to buy it, right? So you can, there's a buy and a sell anytime you do anything. I bought it and then I sold it. Closed. Done. But you can do the sell first, which case you have to buy it later. Okay? Okay. So the easiest way to describe to you how options work is we're going to buy one. We can sell one, but then it gets kind of complicated and it's going to be hard to follow. So we're going to buy one, okay? We're going to buy one first, and then we're going to sell one to close it out. But we just think we're going to buy one, okay? Options are priced rather oddly, so we're not going to get into the pricing of them today either, okay? So we're just going to kind of give you the general idea. I'm going to invent a company called the Acme Anvil Company, AAC. Okay, that's the initial, AAC, Acme Anvil Company. So let's assume that Acme Anvil Company is $100 a share, and you think, for whatever the reason, that AAC will rise later. It's a good company, its stocks will go up. And perhaps you don't have a lot of money, or you don't want to spend a lot of money to profit from the move, but you still want to profit from the move. So you decide to try and benefit from the move by buying options. Okay, you're going to buy an option, because an option is leverage. Okay, you buy one option, you're actually controlling 100 shares of stock. 100 to 1. Okay, we're going to buy a call. Okay, by buying an option, it means that you're going to spend a lot less, okay, to do this trade. Okay, so you don't have to put up a lot of money. You can make a fortune, or you could lose a fortune, but you don't have to put up a lot of money. So let's assume that Acme Anvil Company is trading at 100 a share. So if you were going to buy 100 shares, $100 a share, you'd have to put up $10,000. $10,000. Okay? Or instead, you could buy options, buying a call. Each call controls 100 shares. Okay? Each contract means you are on the hook for 100 shares later, but you don't have to pay for them now. Meanwhile, even though you don't got to put up a lot of money, usually 1/100th of whatever, how much stock you're going to be buying later, you're not going to really be buying it, but so you put up a little bit of money, you still get the profit or the loss of a 100 share move, but you don't spend as much. Remember, the options are highly leveraged. First, you find out if AAC is optionable. Are there options available on AAC? And let's say there are. And we will pick one, okay? Now, options have two things that they have. They have a price and a date, okay? Call it the strike and maturity date, okay? Now, you think, for this example, that Acme Anvil Company is going to go up in price, and you think it's going to happen quick. So we're going to, it's sitting at 100, we're going to buy the 105 call, and it peters out in a month. So we're only going out a month, which means it's going to be a little cheaper. You could go out a year, give yourself a year for it to go higher, but then it's going to cost more. So let's say you think it's going to move fast, so you buy a 105 strike, and it expires next month. Okay? So now you pay for the contract. Now we'll just pick an arbitrary price. Let's say you pay $500 for your option contract. Okay? All right. Now you own one contract, which controls 100 shares. You want to control 1,000 shares, you buy 10 contracts. Okay? In a nutshell, if Acme Anvil Company goes above your strike price of 105, by September 15th, which is your maturity date, you start to make money. So you bought a 105 September 15th call. So the stock has to move past 105. Well, it can move close to 105 quickly, but that's too complicated. So let's just say it's got to go to 105. And if it goes to 105 before or at September 15th, you're going to make some money. Now, if it goes way past 105, you're going to probably make a lot of money. And the faster it goes to 105, the more money you're going to make. So you want it, basically, you want to buy the options on a Monday, and you want to have it skyrocket the next day. That's when you're going to make the most money, okay? So the higher it goes, by September 15th, the more money you're going to make, okay? And the faster it goes there, the more money you're going to make, okay? So in a nutshell, if AAC goes above 105 by 915, you make money. If it goes a lot farther, you're going to make more money. However, if Acme Anvil Company never gets to 105 by September 15th, you bought a 105, which means anything under 105 is worthless. So you lose all your money. Okay? So if you bought a stock, the stock would have to go to zero before you lose all your money. But in an option, if you don't get to the price you bought, by the date you bought it for, you're going to lose all your money. Although trading professionals, all you traders out there and people that trade options, you'll notice that the explanation leaves out a lot of details, okay? That's because I have a limited amount of time. I can't cover everything about an option. And so just know, if you're an experienced trader out there, yes, I know that I've made some real big generalities. I understand that. But if you're a beginner, that's what I'm trying to teach you. Just know when you buy an option that they're very, very highly leveraged, which can work for you or against you. You can get it. You can put up $500 on an option, and you can go negative on that option. If you buy an option, you're limited to the amount of money that you put up. If you sell one, you can be on the hook for a lot more. But it's complicated. So if you buy an option to start the transaction, you buy a call, and the stock never moves, the most you can lose is how much money you put up. You won't get into trouble. But if you do the reverse and sell the option first, then you got to buy it back, then you could be in trouble. So the general concept of how these options work is, if the price goes above your contract strike price by the maturity date, it can mean profit to you. There's a lot more to be explained about options. I get it. But the general concept is options give you extreme leverage. You don't have to put up a lot of money to control a lot of shares, which means it can be more bang for your buck and a cheap way to play a stock, but it can amplify your losses. It can amplify your gains. You can lose it all quickly. And there's a time factor. In other words, as the clock ticks off, it can work for or against you. As the clock ticks off in an option transaction, it works against somebody, which means as the clock ticks off, it also works for the other person. So there's two sides to an option contract. There's a guy that's selling it and a guy that's buying it. And whatever happens to the stock price will affect one guy or the other positively. And if it affects trader A positively, on one side of the trade, trader B is getting screwed, okay? So options, they can be fun, they can be extremely dangerous. Do not, by any stretch of the means, trade options if you do not know what you are doing. Okay, I will give a class on options at some point. That's probably an interesting class. Okay, we have to end the show. Remember, the opinions expressed here are my opinions only, and does not represent those of this station as staff, management, or underwriters. This is not construed as investment advice or a call to action or a solicitation to buy or sell anything, okay? Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any decisions, of course. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free. Our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. And I hold California Insurance License OL34249, and I'm a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. My name is Mark Cunenberdy. Have a great day. Don't get me back. Do good, good, boom.